That's the earth. 14 years away. And the earth is almost invisible by telescope. And on this earth, I mean, that makes us feel small, but what makes us feel great is the creator of all of this chose this body to put us on. And when we get into the recreation order, and I say the recreation because in Genesis there are two stories. There's verse 1 where God created the heavens and the earth, and then he remade it in chapter 2. There was the fall between there. But throughout the creation order, it says, and he said, let there be light. And he said, let there be animals. And he said, let there be water, and let it be divided. But when he came to man, he said, let us make him. The physical act. God took his hands and molded Adam. Took his hands and molded. Think about that. And not only molded them, but breathed into them. Oh, what an awesome God we serve. And we're so unique as to be unlike anyone else in all of the universe that we know of. Not only that, but we're so unique that none of our fingers are the same. None of our eyes are the same. We are uniquely and wonderfully made. And each of us, I don't care what your mother and dad was like, it took the two of them to make you. And no other pairing in this world would have made you. No other pairing would have made you. That's how unique we are to the living God. So what causes us to get angry? Because we feel we have a right to. You cut me off. That was my rightful place to be in that lane. You said this word to me. That was my, it's my place to get angry. We need to learn to deal with anger. And there are four ways that we can choose to deal with anger. First, you can do what I often do. You can suppress it. Just crunch it down. Of course, that's kind of bad if you're the type that turns real red in the face when you're mad. Your body gives you away and you go, nothing's wrong. Jan looks at me sometimes and what's wrong? And she knows by the way I say nothing, whether I'm lying or not. We can hide our anger, suppress it, but that's also hazardous to our health. It's kind of like, anger is kind of like an abscess tooth. You can take a pain pill, but that abscess is just going to get worse. And it's going to get worse to where pain pills won't work anymore. That's what anger does to our body. So we can suppress it. Or we can spiritualize our anger. We can say, oh, I'm not angry. I'm just righteously indignant. That's very spiritual terms. My anger is spiritual. Yours might not be, but I'm a holy man. My anger is spiritual. Or, and I've had people tell me this, and there's no proof that this is true. That's just the way God made me. Deal with it. I can't help it. If God wants me to be anything else, by George, he's going to have to come down and tell me. I'm just an angry person. The way we need to deal with it, the fourth way. So we can suppress it, we can spiritualize it, we can be proud of it, or we can surrender it to the foot of the cross. Anger is a sin. I believe when Jesus uprooted the temple and all of their cells and threw out the let loose the doves and let loose the animals, I don't think he was mad at a person. He was mad at a deed. He was mad at a sin. That was righteous anger. I think he would go right out and pray for those people to receive him. But we personalize our anger. Jesus says, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. Saints of God, I'm going to go to Madeline. Anger is nothing less than a temper tantrum. Whether it's by a two-year-old who doesn't want to wear a sweater today, or an adult because daddy just got a new car and mama didn't. Whatever it is, anger is a temper tantrum. Children learn very early in their life. This weekend I was staying with Linda Talier and her grandchild was over and he decided to show his backside at supper one and he just wasn't going to have his way. Until finally, Jamie, the father, said, you got 3 minutes. Supper was finished and everything was happy. But until daddy said, you got 3 minutes. No cajoling from the aunts or from anyone else did any good. Jesus models then that we get mad at sin and not a person. Apostle Paul gave in this teaching, Ephesians 4:26, says, do not be angry, or be angry, but do not sin. In other words, he didn't say, don't get angry. There are times when anger is justified. But we got to remember we're fighting against spiritual forces and not against flesh and blood. If I get mad at Tim, and Tim doesn't know it, who's it going to harm? It's going to harden my arteries. And he's blissfully ignorant. I can pick on Tim because he's new to our congregation. And he's probably going, oh my gosh, what have I done? Nothing. But that's the truth. There was a time in our life when Jan and I both took an offense and I was able to let it go. But for 5 years, she'll tell you, she chewed on that offense. She finally went to the person after Bishop John Holloway gave a sermon one time about if you want people to understand your side, you're still angry. You haven't reached forgiveness. And went to the person and said, I'm so sorry that I've been upset for so long. And the person looked at her and goes, upset for what? Jan was mad all over again that she never knew that she was upset with her. That's how silly anger is, guys. And it leads us to the most harsh of false criticisms. And so God's word says that our biggest gift that we can give to God is forgiveness and reconciliation, but it starts in the heart. Second, forgiveness is an act of worship, and we need to understand that. Forgiveness is an act of worship. We think worship is up here, la, 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 I can't sing, la, 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 and having a good time with the praise group leading us and us making joyful noises, because some of us are like me. Noise is all you get. But Matthew 5:23-24 teaches us that forgiveness is an act of worship. It says forgiveness is, in fact, is a gift more valuable than worship. Because if we're upset, we can't really worship. We can go through the motions. Recently, I did something that I counsel people not to do. And before I even realized it, I had received an offense. This was 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I went out at my bishop's request. I went to Selma. Selma is a thin place to me. Selma is a place where prayer is going up a lot. We used to be a thin place, but Selma is that place for me. And I was meeting with the archbishop. And without even knowing what's going on, he said, David, you got to forgive. Word of the Lord. I don't want to forgive. I'm not mad anyway. Really? Really? You're going to tell me that? This is Chuck? I've known you for 22 years? All right, so I'm a little upset. I'm hurt. Hurt doesn't count. See, we need to surrender. And when I came back that weekend, several of you said that Jan and I were demonstratively changed because we found peace. We took an offense without even recognizing it. It wasn't someone gave it to me. It was someone licked the candy off my candy cane and I was upset. What's this about sharing? When prayers go unanswered, it's often because we've removed ourselves from that direct line to God. I'm not giving any guilt here today. I'm not telling you if your prayer isn't answered. Lisa's not in here. I'll pick on her. Someone told Lisa that she was sick because there was sin in her life. Now, thank goodness, she considered the source. That's a very legalistic way. Sin comes. Sin is like one of these balls that just bounce everywhere when you let it go, and it'll hit whom it will, and sometimes it seems unfair. Be careful of our judgment. But there are times when we're not in a right frame and we don't pray in faith. We pray, oh God, I need this. And in the back of my mind, yeah, fat change, he's going to answer me. There's no faith. What's really neat at the altar, at times when I pray for people, I'm standing there going, why am I up here? I'm thinking about something. And God moves. It wasn't my faith. It might have been the person's faith. It just might have been the connection of God. Back when, before I was priested, and even now, if the power of God is flowing through someone, you're going to bet you I'm going to get as close to them as I can. Because I might not have faith enough that day, but man, it's being demonstrated. I don't care if they pray for me. I just want to be in the glory. God's word says that we've got to believe. And asking what you will, but you got to believe it. And most of our prayers are remiss in sin because we have a bitterness that separates us from God. The Lord's Prayer, and no one ever likes this, the Lord's Prayer in 6:12 says, Father Jesus, forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. We don't want to forgive. We take ourselves out of God's ability to answer us because we've chosen our own anger and our own passions over what he did. In Ephesians 4:31 and 32, it says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Forgiving and being forgiven, saints of God, is out of the same cloth. We want always God to treat us as we intended to be treated, but we treat each other as we presume that the other acted. How do we forgive? Not in our own strength. Forgiveness is only possible through the cross of Jesus Christ, through dying to the sin. Simply accepting what Jesus has already accomplished for us on the cross. In 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What does that mean? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It means the sins have been thrown as far as the east is from the west. There they've been put in the sea of forgetfulness, and he chooses to remember them no more. So forgiveness and reconciliation start in the heart, Forgiveness is an act of worship. And finally, forgiveness and reconciliation bring healing to revenge and resentment. When we fail to forgive others who have hurt us, we give into the spirit of revenge and resentment. I've had people say, well, I've forgiven, but I'm not going to ever forget. Really? You've forgiven? I hope you never have a gun when they cross in front of you. Your passion might take over. The spirit of revenge mushrooms like a cloud of deadly chlorine gas. And resentment is like concrete, that the longer it goes, the stronger and harder it gets to enter into unforgiveness. The cure for revenge and resentment is forgiveness. Forgiveness for a Christian. Guys, it's not an option. There was one time when I was a young Christian, 25 years ago, 24 years ago, a guy did something really dumb. And then he made it worse. He looked at me and said, ha, you got to forgive me. Bam, I wanted to hit him. Because I knew he was right. His attitude was all wrong. But that was up to God. I knew I had no choice but to forgive him. That was a bitter pill to swallow that day. Colossians 3:13 and 14 says, forbearing one another, if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these things, put love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Luke 23:37 says, further, forgive them. That's where Christ was on the cross, in perfect pretense. He loved us. He loved the least, the lost, the lonely, the broken, the sinful. And in return for his love and good deeds, he was spat upon. When you go to apologize to someone and they don't receive you, don't worry about it. Now that's between them and Christ. Don't take another offense. You did what was righteous. Now God can deal with them. But he doesn't have to deal with you in order to get to them. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. The next time someone offends you, whether it's your boss, your spouse, your children, your teacher, your neighbor, the guy that cuts you off in traffic, here's the image I want you to get. Christ on the cross. Marred more than anyone else. And his words. The King of Kings. The Lamb slain before the beginning of the world. Father, forgive them. Have we been martyred? Have we been hung on a cross? I don't care how bad things have been. I don't care whether it was your father, your uncle, your mother, your brother, your sister, the neighbor next door. I don't care. We've all received offenses. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We all have to get to that place of reconciliation with the living God. Don't stand in another's way. Forgive them. Because in most cases, like the case with my wife for 5 years, she tried her best to develop an ulcer. And the other person was like, huh? Did I do something wrong? God is calling this church and calling us as individual members to do an inventory of our presence. To look in the dark recesses of our hearts, those closet doors that we've closed off and nailed shut and concreted over and did all of this other stuff, to go in those dark places and to forgive, to walk in wholeness. Some of us, for the first time in our life. I can only promise you the reward of fulfillment when the weight of that forgotten tragedy that has marred you mentally is lifted off you. There's healing in what God is doing. There's healing in the presence of the living God. And I believe with all of my power that God wants to do healing in us, that we might love ourselves in order that we might love each other. One of the greatest gifts that we can give to the Messiah is by choosing to live our life in a surrendered forgiveness. He did. And that's what we're called to do. And God's opening up to me His vastness and showing me the directions. We all kind of like an outline. Showing me an outline of what we can do. So I pray this morning that there's any of you that have aught against anyone. I don't care what the reason is, and I don't need to know the reason. God knows already. But He's waiting for us in our heart to say, to be honest, I don't want to forgive him, but your word says forgive him, so help me get to that place of forgiveness. And He will do that. I'm not even asking you to forgive him today. Just, God, help me. I know I need to forgive. Make me whole. And He is faithful to honor that prayer. Please stand to your feet. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts this morning and show us individually the areas of our heart where we've been harboring bitterness, resentment, desiring revenge against others. I ask on our behalf that you would forgive us. And we're open to asking them also for forgiveness, whether it's a mother, brother, father, sister, fellow worker, classmate, aunt, uncle, neighbor. You have offered me the gift of forgiveness through your precious death and resurrection. Today, God, we say, help me give back that gift to another. Help us, Lord, to be reconciled to you in a way that for some of us, we've never been reconciled. For it's not our will or by our might that we move and have our being. But we recognize that we wholly are indebted to you. So come, Lord Jesus, and bathe us in your presence. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.